Quorum.
Dennis Scott here.
Kathy Egan here.
Karen Ward here.
Stu Martinez here.
Cindy Wright here.
And for the record, the mayor, Ken Molinex, is ill, so he's excused for today. And now we'll do the Pledge of Allegiance. And Councilor Egan, would you lead us, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, and it looks like we have two added agenda items.
Yes, one is the FCS group. We're going to add on to their scope of work for SDC work, so we will know what our SDCs for water and sewer need to be, basically updated based off our master plan. And then the second one is a professional service agreement with Mandala Communications for our branding and marketing and all of that good stuff that we're going to be doing. We got a $10,000 grant from the state.
Okay, so then those will be items like down the line?
Yeah, you can put it, they can come at the end of the year. Okay. Those are kind of boring to everyone.
Nah. Okay, then next on the agenda would be the consent agenda. And I think everybody's had a chance to look that over. And I need to state a possible conflict of interest with the Wilderness Garbage Bill. So with that, any questions?
Nope.
So I have a motion?
I make a motion that we pass.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion passes. Next item on the agenda is public comment. Anybody want to make any comments? Okay. Next on the agenda is Deschutes County 911 update. Sir, there he is.
Good evening. Want me at the table?
Sure.
Okay. Thanks for making a little time for me to chat with you this evening. Last time I was here was last fall, and we were reviewing the process we were going through to put a measure on the ballot to change our permanent funding rate.
State your name for the record, your title.
Will do. Steve Reinke, Deschutes County 911 Service District Director. When we had that discussion, we were in the process of developing costs for the long-term the district's long-term funding needs. And to refresh everyone's memory, our current funding source is a 16-cent permanent rate and a 20-cent temporary levy for a combination of 36 cents per thousand of assessed value. One of the things that developed over the last couple of years was the users in the area have been using a radio system that is out of date at the end of its service life, and law enforcement and the fire service will both be able to use the new system that we're going to build. The challenge with the old system is kind of think about a Windows 95 computer with a Pentium processor. That's the vintage of this radio system, and that's the challenge that we're having. Nobody makes parts for it anymore, and it's unsupported. So technology, unfortunately, becomes obsolete over time, and the radio system is no different. So the users, the area's public safety leaders, knowing this was coming, has allowed the 911 district's reserve fund to grow over time, and we were able to put money in the bank to pay for a new system. The concern was, back in 2014, was a consultant's report said, this system's going to cost $13 million. And we said, that's a lot of money. I wonder if there's a way we can do it for less. And let's talk about partnerships. So we started working with the State Department of Transportation to use their sites and infrastructure and add some of our own to make the radio coverage what we needed in Deschutes County. And doing that partnership cut the cost from $13 million to $6.5 million. So we are now able to use cash reserves to pay for the entire system without asking the public for any more money to build the system. The challenge we have is we don't have long-term funding to maintain and operate the system, and when this one becomes obsolete, eventually to replace it. So what we're going to ask the public for in May is a ballot measure to raise our permanent funding rate to 42.5 cents from its current combined rate of 36 cents. That's about a six and a half cent increase. And that increase will give us the permanent funding rate that we need to be able to maintain and operate this system, and we'll be putting money aside every year. So again, in that 15-year period, we're going to be able to replace the system without having to do any debt service or bonding. So it's I just wanted to bring you up to date on, the last time I was here, we hadn't established what that permanent rate would look like. We kept it as low as we possibly could. When we did our forecasting for clear out to 2030, that 42.5 cent rate was enough to get us by. Of course, we had to make assumptions about what inflation would look like, how assessed values would grow. So we kind of front-loaded the assessed value growth early, thinking that it might decline over time. But again, it's a little bit of a guessing game. What we can promise is that through our budget process every year, we will not levy any more than we need. So just because we have authority to go to 42.5 cents doesn't mean we will use it. If our budget says we only need 39 cents, then that's what we'll levy. And as you're probably familiar, the Board of County Commissioners is my governing board, my elected officials, and every year they and the citizen-appointed budget committee reviews all the budgets of the county. We are part of the county financial system, even though we are a separate government agency in a separate district. We still report to the county commissioners through that board. So we're confident that we're going to be able to tell the public, we're asking for 42.5 cents, but we will only levy what we need. Very much like what the Sheriff's Office rural levy did, they passed it for, I believe, $1.25, but they're only levying about $1, and they've been maintaining that rate for quite some time. We want to be able to do the same thing so that we don't have to go back every 5 years for serial levies to be able to fund our operation. So that's the short version of kind of where the district is at and what we're doing. We're excited to get started with this radio project. We expect to sign the agreement with the State Department of Transportation within the next couple of weeks, and then we will be signing an agreement with the Harris Corporation that provides all the radio infrastructure that we're going to build at the same time. That contract will be for around $3 million. And like I said, it's pretty nice to be able to say we cut the cost by partnering instead of, well, we got to have our own. No, we don't. We can partner with the state. That radio project is built. They have 44 sites around the state. One of the other advantages is if our users have to go over to the valley to help out over there, they'll be able to communicate on the state system over there, and vice versa. So if there's a disaster in our county, in our area, and people come over from the other side to help us out, they'll be able to communicate because they'll be able to use that same system. So we're pretty excited about this and trying to be good stewards of the public's money and make sure that we're delivering the level of service that our customers expect. So like I said, I just wanted to bring you up to date and thank you for your support and ask if you have any questions. I'm sorry?
Is there a vote coming up?
It will be the May election. We expect that the county commissioners have to take action on February 17th to do the order to put it on the ballot, and there's a public hearing scheduled for that. So, but we fully expect that that will happen. Mm-hmm.
How many people do you employ?
We're allocated 57, and that includes the dispatchers, the supervisors. We have a technical staff of 6 people, administrative staff, myself, the operations manager, and the training coordinator. So we're the fifth or sixth largest 911 center in Oregon. Surprisingly enough, there's several over in the valley, that of course Portland and Clackamas County, Washington County, they have larger centers, but we're a big one. And we have to, we're our level of service delivery, one of the things that we did when I first arrived in late 2014 was we went through a strategic planning process. Because one of the things that, as a service provider, we have to know is, what service do you want? And what are the industry standards for what a 911 center should be doing as far as call processing times, certifications, training, and all the things that we want to make sure that we're leaders in the industry. Not on the cutting edge or leading edge, but fully ensconced in what best practices are for our industry. And there are a number of agencies that help us define what those look like. So when we had those strategic planning sessions, our users said, we want certain things from our 911 center. We want you to answer calls quickly. We want the staff to be well trained. We want them to have technology that allows them to help us when we're in the field. Because as you know, we're the bridge between the public and the responders, and we serve both. The responders, once we give them the call, we give them registration information, criminal history information, driver's checks, all the information that police officers in the field need from us, and to be able to help them track their calls and to know what's going on at those calls as the call progresses. And the same thing for the fire service. We work closely with Chief Supkus and the Lapine Fire District in making sure that we get calls to them in a timely manner and with complete information so that they can do their job. So yes, it's surprising how much the staff has grown over the years, but now what, 175,000 people here. So when you compare us with other centers of this population base, we're pretty much right in that same area as far as our staffing model. There's, you know, the bigger you get, the more folks you need, at least if you want to answer calls in a timely manner, and that's extremely important to us. We answer 97% of our 911 calls within 10 seconds. And about 95% of them within 5 seconds. So we're pretty quick to get on the phone and to make sure that people get the help that they need. So.
How's this PERS increase going to take a whole bunch of your increase?
It certainly
today
is.
Today it said it's going to go up another 20%.
Yeah.
Somebody said it might get the 40% of payroll.
Yeah.
Unlike ODOT, that the majority of their budget really, well, lots of it's for other stuff. It's not just employees, it's for pavement and things.
Right, and contracts.
Yours must be 80%.
It's about
personnel?
Almost 80% personnel, exactly.
So when you get these numbers, really impact.
They really, every public agency is going to really feel the pinch on this.
Calculated this yet?
We figured when we did our projections, at that time the retirement systems had a projection for right now and a couple years and then a couple years after that. So we have made a 24% assumption. That's what we use for our assumptions, and that may be low now. So that's why we're hoping for a little headroom with this permanent rate so we don't have to keep going back to the public. One of the other things I want to point out is that in our last operations levy, it was at 23 cents instead of 20. So we actually reduced our levy rate this last time from 39 cents combined to 36. So from that levy, we're actually up about 3 cents to keep this going. So we've really, even though we've had more responsibility and we have this new radio system to maintain, we've really tried to make sure that we keep our costs under control as much as we can through, you know, best practices and good labor negotiations and trying to keep a stable workforce.
Do you think Crook and Jefferson would ever join you? That's more complicated with the taxes.
No, it's actually possible. I think that, you know, discussions happen about consolidation from time to time. We're certainly open to the idea. Our center's large enough, we could pretty much handle Eastern Oregon from it. And that with the connectivity through the state partnership, microwave connectivity, we can communicate with pretty much any corner of the state. Through, you know, it certainly would take some more infrastructure to make that happen on the other end, but we're open to the idea. But right now, a lot of smaller counties, just the truth of the matter is they get a certain amount of money from the state 911 tax fund, money that's on our phones. That pays for the 911 network that supports because the phone company doesn't provide 911 for free, believe me. And so as a result, most of those taxes go for infrastructure for the 911 network and to pay the phone companies. But some of it is redistributed back to the counties on a population basis. So a small rural county will get somewhere around $250,000 to $400,000 a year. Well, you can buy people with that. And in small counties, often the 911 dispatcher is also the records clerk, the front counter clerk. They might monitor the jail cameras at night. They wear a lot of hats. So if you consolidate, you still have those responsibilities, but you lose the funding source. So it's somewhat of a disincentive for consolidation because of that. interesting stuff, and that, yeah, it's all about the money. So, like I said, I appreciate the time this evening. I didn't want to take a bunch up. At some point, you will. I'll be sending an email to Mr. Allen with kind of a 1.5-page fact sheet that you can use if you're so inclined. If people ask you about it, certainly as elected officials, we would appreciate your advocacy. As a public official, once it's certified for the ballot, I can provide facts, but certainly I can't ask for votes. But you folks can. So, at that point, we would certainly appreciate it. All right.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Okay. Next is the approval of an access management methodology with the US 97 server. I guess that's ODOT.
That is.
There they are.
And with us, we have our team leaders, Gary Farnsworth and his henchman, in this case, Mr. Garland. Yep. But Gary wanted to come down, and Corey had worked on this with them over the last month. We talked about it here, but this relates to, well, the whole project, but in particular, when we do the sidewalk project on the west side, it's access management at the methodology of how all this works, and Gary might can explain that a little bit, but it's always a touchy situation. You got to make sure everything's laid out, and we have worked hard, and they've met with everyone. You know that we've met with all the businesses along here pretty much. So take it away, Gary.
Thank you. And we're on mic?
Yes.
Okay. So Gary Farnsworth, area commission or area manager for ODOT, and brought Mike Darling with me. He's the project leader. And also a couple of guys in the back. We have the district manager for maintenance and operations for District 10, Pat Kredekin, has joined us, and also our region access management engineer, David Natowski. You've teed it up pretty well, Rick. We're following up from the work session we had here a few months ago to talk about this thing called the access management methodology for the 97 project, and particularly the streetscape element, but for the entire project that will include paving from Sun River on 97 all the way down to ORO 31, and include the streetscape work from the work we finished up here on First Street. Mike was the project leader for that, all the way down here to the demonstration project we have in front on the west side. So we're continuing to make good progress on that. And then the draft methodology we had in front of you, we also had sent that out to all the property owners and encouraged involvement with their tenants as well. We had actually quite a few attend that work session. That was good. And we had some questions, a few questions from council, and a few, at least a couple of questions from folks that were attending. And we have addressed all of the comments and questions that we got then. We did not get any comments, written comments, or anything from the folks we sent out to. We did receive one set of comments, but those comments were more to actually trying to apply the methodology, which gave us an affirmation that what we put together actually was going to work well, because we were already getting some reactions to, hey, this is what we're going to hold up as values, and folks, the person that commented was actually responding to, yeah, we want to comment on that. So instead of commenting on the details of the language, they were commenting on the next steps, which was a good sign for us. Otherwise, we didn't really get anything new. We did need to get final confirmation from my supervisor, the region manager, Bob Bryant, on the methodology. He holds our authority for the process for getting the access management work done. So he wanted a few items of clarification that are in the final version, really truthfully clarification items, not really anything new in the way of decision-making changes or expectations. The draft you have in front of you, the hope is we can get it a stamp of approval from council this evening, and that will allow us to move forward with this methodology, which will allow us to continue working with the property owners, with city staff and other stakeholders to complete what we call the access management strategy. This methodology would become a part of that strategy. That strategy will set the tone for all of the things we'll do for every single driveway, access point, how the sidewalk, Kruger sidewalk, all the pieces will all fit together along this west side primarily. We do have a few changes we'll be making to the ADA ramps along the east side. Those are all pretty minor, and I don't think they have any effect on access, if I remember, Mike. Nothing notable.
Nothing.
Just a few design changes on that side, but the bulk of it will be along the west side. And then the expectation from here forward is we'll continue to participate with you in work sessions as we make progress on some of the decisions and recommendations that will come out of the access management strategy for the project and the other details of the project as we get further along in the design. We are planning a public meeting in March. Do you remember the date?
March 3rd.
Do you, Mike, do you want to explain what will happen at that public meeting?
Sure. So we're going to have a public open house on March 3rd, and we've set a time up from 4:30 to 6:30. And the purpose is to allow folks to drop in and learn about this project and, you know, what we're going to be doing and what's the process and the time frame and that kind of thing. Give folks an opportunity to get some more information. The other thing we wanted to do too is also give folks information about all the other three other projects that are going to be going on in this area. The Wickiup Junction project that's already been let to a construction contractor. And so we'll have someone there from construction. So people have questions about that, about some timing and what's happening, there'll be a good opportunity to hear that. There's another project that might affect folks that are going back and forth to Bend for commuting. It basically is putting a median barrier from South Bend city limits all the way to Lava Butte. And so we just can't put a median barrier. We actually have to widen the road. So there's wide roadening, there's tree cutting, there's a number of things going on. That's going to impact folks going back and forth. So we're going to have someone here to represent that and talk about it. And then the last one is, it's just got kicked off this week, which is the, it's basically from Sun River to the Forest Service boundary, four laning the next section of US 97. And that's about 6 miles. So that's coming. That just kicked off and that's coming. So we're going to have actually four projects to talk about. We'll have some displays, maps, give people an idea of kind of what's going on, what's coming, and kind of some time frames. But that's a great opportunity for folks to drop in after work and ask questions. And I think it'll be a great opportunity for folks to get some information.
Thank you, Mike. And the last project that Mike mentioned, the extension of four laning, we have the money to do some of the design environmental work. We do not have the construction dollars yet. And in fact, we don't even have a real good idea of how much that's going to cost. Yeah, it'll come this way. Yeah, it'll continue.
How many miles? About 6 miles. That'll take it to
Forest Service boundary, which is what's that? What are some of the accesses? Is there Newberry State Park?
Just
right in that area.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So again, we're asking for your endorsement just on this methodology. Methodology just means it's how we're going to make the decisions around access, right? The plan is that we'll continue our outreach process, including potential work session time, sometime later this spring, we will bring back the access management strategy, which will be all of the decision points we'll have to make for every single access point along the project here between First and down here. We'll bring that back to you because we'll also be looking for your blessing on that document as well, which will have incorporated the methodology piece. So we're in great shape. As Rick pointed out, we've been engaging with everyone. The dialogue has been really good and real thoughtful, and it's progressing like a project should progress. So we're looking forward to the next steps.
It's an important, I think people use your access, and so you just, you know, access. A lot of times I'm in meetings like this, you think you know what they're talking about, you do, but then maybe you don't.
Yeah.
When you go up and down a road, every business has a driveway. Some have two. Some have no curbs, it's open all the way. Well, there actually is rules, regulations on that. Some have permits.
Property rights.
Some don't. You throw in property rights. Maybe their permit is for a 20-foot wide driveway and they got a 30-footer. It's everything above. The sign post is out in the access. So when you go in and you're pushing everything back to the right-of-way and you're putting in sidewalks up against that, and then your driveways need to become compliant, and then you throw in the ADA ramps, every property is probably off a little, or out a little, some or both, some understand it, some don't understand it, some understand it and don't like it, some understand it and love it. And you do have to at some point, this is what this kind of lays out, the formal how you walk through and you work with people, but you know, at some point someone has to say, you know, this is kind of how we're going to have to go forward, and it's based off of this criteria and this kind of stuff.
Right.
And you work hard to work ways around it, and we've got some we're working with. So it is very important. It is technical. Right now we have nothing that's that's biting us too much, I guess. We have some.
We've got some important issues to work, and just about every property that we'll be doing the streetscape work on, there will be property rights issues we'll have to work through with each of the property owners regarding access and other things we'll need to do to coordinate the changes we're going to make out there. So, and that's actually, to some degree, it's good news to have things in legal property rights and that are deeded information to work from. It really helps to set the tone and parameters for us to work effectively and fairly with everybody. And it's something that we're used to. We've got some very experienced people that are used to working the right of way property access issues along the way. And as Rick's pointing out, we'll continue to keep you informed, and if there are issues that crop up, we'll certainly come back and look for opportunities to visit.
So one of the things they would like from us tonight is, we've had this for a while on and off, is to, you know, kind of give them the go ahead to, what you'd like to vote for them to, that they support the methodology, is that it?
Yeah, we would appreciate some sort of a...
you know, it's kind of like out in Burns, you know, you don't like the FBI out telling the locals what to do. Well, downsize that a little, take away a few guns, and they want to make sure that the locals are supporting where this all heads.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, Corey and I and Scott, you know, we've met with them and worked with them, and it's... Yeah. It is what you have to do. They've had to do this in other communities, and there's nothing that's, you know, heavy-handed here, but there'll be folks on all sides of this issue. It could be a year from now before you hear from them, you know, because the project's out a while. So you'll spend about the next year working on this,
yes,
or six mm-hmm. months?
Yeah, well, there's a whole range of things we'll be doing between access and the design work and the right-of-way process. Yeah, and we're planning on the construction season will be 2018, so we've got quite a bit of time to work. Also, Rick, you're prompting me to remind all of us in the room that this is truly a partnership. You, the city, were very effective in proposing and gaining funding for the streetscape improvements in particular. We're combining that with the pavement work because it's a good thing to do to combine the work. So we're in this together. So everything we're doing, we're making sure we're having that inclusiveness, and not just with staff and council, but with the residents and property.
That's actually a good point. You know, they wouldn't be necessarily doing all of this if it wasn't for us applying for the money, because we want to make the improvement. You know, they're glad to help, but like, you know, that's not what ODOT's core mission is. They're not out building green spaces and mowing and everything like that.
Yeah.
So it's really, they are our partners in this.
Yeah.
So the fact that things are going to move over and have trees and nice lights like that at First Street is really because of us.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's not something that they drove, but then they're the ones that got to go out and do the negotiating.
Yeah.
So they want to make sure that they don't turn around and where's Stu?
Mm-hmm. Well, and you're right. Our core mission is around safety and mobility for transportation. Although our mission statement does include economic development and livability as a part of what we want to do to support the community. And not only that, streetscape type of work does a lot of things for safety, for accessibility, for addressing the needs of pedestrians and bicyclists, as well as the property owners that we're wanting to serve. So it's just a great package. We just have some challenging issues to work through, but there's a lot of collective will to do the right thing here. So I'm confident. And I do want to open up to questions, see if there are any questions from council members.
Well, you said like changes. I mean, if you run into a problem, you're going to come back to us again.
Is that what you're saying, Nate?
We will if we think that it merits, and we'll be working through Rick probably, and oftentimes we'll connect. I have a relationship with at least with the mayor through the Area Commission on Transportation. We'll look at those issues, and we may have something that will require some sort of either a major heads up in a work session, or if there's an action that we think is important enough that we need to engage you in, we'll definitely make sure we bring it to your attention.
For the meeting on the 3rd, are we sending out flyers to people, or how are we publicly doing
that?
We're going to be letting people know.
I think to the zip code, or
do you remember how we're doing that?
You're doing that to a zip code down here, or how are you putting out the flyer? Do you know?
I think it was just a zip code, but I'd have to talk to our community.
Our community liaison, Rex Holloway, is doing that, and he's pretty thorough, so it's probably using the zip code type approach.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll probably try to get a press release and so forth through Peter Murphy. So. Yeah, thanks. Any other questions, council members? Great.
Is this just for the whole project or just the west side?
Yeah, so just to clarify on the methodology, some of this is about the fine print, but just we do have it addressed here. I don't want to bore you with the detail, but to clarify, the methodology, to a degree, addresses the entire length of the project, right? Both sides of the highway, but it distinguishes the west side where we're implementing streetscape from the east side where we're ensuring through whatever's required for making sure we have ADA compliance for the sidewalk ramps. Anytime we touch a system, we are bound to make the upgrades that are required by ADA law. And the standards that come with it. So what we put in the methodology was if there's anything that we have to do on the east side to address ADA that affects access, right, changing, modifying, relocating, anything like that, then the methodology says we will go through, you know, a process of making sure we balance the safety and the needs of the property owners and everything, just like we would on the west side. So there's a little bit of a distinction there, right? But the core values of this methodology are for the streetscape work. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, it actually covers the whole project from Sun River down.
It does.
So you know, distinguishes. The fine print is, if you vote to do this, you're supporting the closure of State Park Rec Road Railroad. Did you know that? Oh, I just thought.
Oh my gosh!
I just thought I'd help.
Yeah, you're helping.
So we just need a motion from someone that we would approve the access management methodology for this project as presented by ODOT.
So moved.
Second.
You moved in second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Need to hear it verbal.
Yep.
Okay. And aye. Motion passes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. It's nice to have the update, especially for the public too, you know.
Yeah. Well, and believe it or not, I do enjoy these opportunities, and I think Pat does as well sometimes, so I guess I wanted to just check while we're down here.
We're going to bring Pat up for a little additional discussion that we've been talking about, and you know, Pat's been around ODOT a long time, so you can kind of pick on him over everything, and he's your fall-to guy, you know, if anything you like. He's one of the good guys. Actually, ODOT's full of him, but Pat and I worked together for a lot of years, and he runs the maintenance charge. What your title is?
Right.
So, manager of the maintenance charge. So, you know. And I was teasing him up here, and we'll go on to another topic, but I was telling him, I've noticed large amounts of cinder, since I drive back and forth, we're at a different elevation, but I do the triangle from Sisters, Redmond, and Bend. Sisters is up pretty high, gets a lot of snow. Way less cinder in those towns, and his cinder is spreading. 20 feet over on all sides, so I don't know if the snow piles go. See, Sisters, the snow pile goes through at about 15 miles an hour, which means it moves less feet. Mm-hmm. They come through here at 50, and it flies 40 feet. and it makes our new streetscapes just like here. And I look today, the entire length of the sidewalk, even if there's a 10-foot of separated between the sidewalk, it's covered. It's like a gravel road. So I was just talking to him, and seriously just want to know, are there ways that either is, you know, maybe we could work with them for next season. It's maybe you use more mag, maybe you slow down when you come through, maybe you turn that down a little. Do you not throw it as far? It's way out of my league, but definitely you pick it up more often, and then that keeps it from just picking up in the dust and settling. But as we do more of a streetscape, and as we're trying to clean things up, definitely there's more cinder here by a lot, mm-hmm. not just a little. And so thought maybe it was a time to start talking to the crews down here. And is there a different method of?
Well, Rick, I remember that bumper sticker used to be down here. If you're worried about global warming, you haven't been able to find Oregon.
Yeah.
They also get more snow here than the other cities. So, and this was a big winter. We had just two big storms before Thanksgiving, before Christmas. So we used a lot more than we normally would. Last 2 years have been very dry. But it's a good point. We can look at the speeds. We tell our people not to go over 35 when they're plowing, and we can enforce that. We'll emphasize that a little bit more, turn the spinners down, because it dumps out of the back on the little plate that spins and throws them out. We can take a look at that. Be a little more judicious about how we do it. No, I'm with you. I understand the problem with it. It's a problem for us, too, because when we have to pick it up, it's an added expense.
Sure.
And we do like to use the mag instead, but it doesn't work when you got snow on the ground. It works before you get it. It works when it's frosty. Sometimes we can cut real thin ice with it, but it's a whole separate tool. I'll be meeting with the manager down here, Tim McGinnis, and we will have that discussion and see what we can come up with to try and alleviate it. But most of it is probably just the big snow you get down here this year. But we can still work on those other parts of it.
Good. And then the second thing, and what we thought why they were here and going to be down here tonight, we've been working on maybe the relocation of the maintenance yard out of our downtown. When I was mayor or something, years ago, we started working on the one in Madras, and we kept sending pictures of the green building. They had a lovely green that is not on any color chart.
It was cheap.
Yeah.
And the oily diesel pumps and all other things. And today, those are all filled with businesses, that spot. But it's working with them. In that case, they found a spot up in the industrial park, a better location. And so, I had sent a letter to Bob Bryant a year ago-ish, mm-hmm. saying, hey, let's start looking at this because it is a long process. They just moved Sister's Yard out of town, and this would be in other maybe. This is about the last one that's in town in your region.
Except for Bend.
Bend.
Yeah, Bend.
But you'll probably won't. But anyway, so then I wanted to remind him the other day that we're doing our annual reminder. So I did that, and then Gary called right up and said, hey, stop by. In fact, it was on a Monday. He says, could you meet us Tuesday morning or something? 8 a.m. at our office in Bend. And I said, no, but yes. So I was down there. And we had Bob Bryant, his boss, the top guy. We were all there. All these guys were there. And so we spent an hour talking about some options there. So I thought maybe why these guys are here formally, let them kind of talk about that and, mm-hmm. you know, just kind of how we move ahead on this.
My memory goes back to Madras, and I just put it together when we were at that meeting he was talking about last week, that we kept getting these letters and cajoling from the city about this ugly station in the middle of Madras, and it was. It sits where McDonald's sits now, or very close to it. So you can imagine it was right there in the heart of the business district. And I always wondered, who was it? I couldn't remember who it was that kept bugging us about this. And really, that was the incentive that helped a great deal in getting it moved. We wanted to move anyway. I mean, and we wanted a new main station. All right. So there's an upside for both of us. And then I finally realized. I finally asked Rick. I said, "Was that you?" Yeah. So you're doing it again. And it turned out very positive last time, and I think it turned out very positive this time. We don't need to be in the business district. It's, you know, the time has passed when we were on the edge of town, and it's a much better use for everybody. So what it takes with the state government is persistence, for one, and two is a lot of local support, just like Gary was talking about local support for these projects we do. If the city keeps reminding us, and you know, it should be in some kind of written or electronic form that we can pass on to the people up above. That made a difference in Sisters. We asked the Forest Service to write us a letter saying they wanted us out of there, which they had every right to do, because they wanted to sell the property and use the money for certain things. And that helped get that through the legislature very quickly, actually. It was very fortuitous timing on that. I don't see it being as quick here, but when the local community, you know, makes it a bigger enough issue, a priority of some sort, and Rick can guide you through that on just how to do that. Maybe talk to your local state reps and so forth about moving, and then we'll work on a detail of property, and then we'll work on a detail of getting the funding. But there's some 80 some maintenance stations in the state, and we get funding for to replace one each year. So we work in a biennium, so every 2 years we get enough funding to replace two maintenance stations or do a major upgrade. And a lot of them are in the same situation where they're in the middle of what was a small town that was on the edge of a small town at the time. And some are in worse shape than we are here. So I can't speculate very closely on when something like that might come through, but it has to be passed by the legislature. But it always helps to have local support and continuous local support. You know, it's yearly reminder is good. More often is better. And when you go to meetings with your state reps, bring it up. There are some incentive programs that might make it easier for us to move once we acquire the land, and we've got to get the money to move the buildings. And some of those have to do with co-location, some of those methods. And so we've been talking with Rick on the side about things like that. And you know, we're still at the big picture story here, not at the detail level yet. But we'd like to get there, and we'd like your support, and I'd like to be able to pass that on up the line. Bob Bryant knows, so I'm asking for this. And I'm not making any secret that we're asking for support from the locals to help us push that through. So, any questions?
We probably won't be in a couple of minutes.
Yeah. Oh, well, I was just going to add in that I think we're past the reminders stage and actually into a more active brainstorming and throwing ideas of how we can move something up and forward and ahead in this case. Instead of just waiting around for the cycle to occur, we're actually working on some ideas. We'll keep massaging those ideas until they're good enough to bring back around. But I think my impression is we've got a good dialogue happening now that will continue, and Rick won't have to wait a year until he needs to send another letter. We're actually actively working at some alternatives.
Right. And that's a good reminder too, because we're going to have to do this in two steps. One is acquire the property, because we don't own any in the right spots around here. And then second is to get the funding for the buildings. So they can happen separately, they can happen together, but generally they happen separately. You know, we fit the land in one biennium and the buildings and maybe the next or something like that. So yeah, we're working actively on the land part of it, but it'll, even if we acquire it, it might be a while before we can get to the building part of it.
So are you saying probably, excuse me, something beyond probably 4 years or farther out?
Probably that's a good
That'd point. Be my guess as far as the buildings go. The land, you know, that could happen quicker because we're already in discussions. But we got to find the right spot, and we got to get everybody's agreement and so forth and so on. But as far as getting the next 2 years already taken up with two other buildings, one in Meacham and one in, I think, on the coast. They're rebuilding, and so then we get into the next biennium, and there's, like I said, there's more in worse shape than we are. Our biggest fault is we're in the middle of town, and there's others that are probably in worse shape. So I wouldn't have a lot of hope that next biennium we would score the big points, but if we keep working at it, you never know. I mean, sometimes opportunities come up that you don't see coming.
Getting ready.
And so if we're ready
to
jump.
We were looking at, listen, example, Pat and I have already met out with Scott. We looked at kind of where the cell tower is on our Briar Pivot. But there's kind of the domino effect. Right now, we have room for them. And that's an area where we could co-do a couple things. You talked about a washdown rack or some other things that we could, where we need to wash our equipment down, they do. And you have to have now the sumps and all the separators and all of that, where we both could have access to it. And some things like that. If they had their own fueling facility, you know, we could use it. Just depends on where that all headed. And then, of course, if we do the Kegel project, we are going to go across some railroad tracks and move our that spray field moves, and we're going to have one twice as big over on the other side of the tracks. That field will become city property. Well, it is city property already. Title, we own it. That property then is there, and you know, we can carve them out their footprint, and then they get to come out as a signal, and that's important. The left turn in, left turn out, which is safe for the public and their trucks. When they're coming out, they're going to have a left turn signal if they can get one. And it's in the industrial park. You're not going to have houses next door. Mm-hmm. It's where you want that kind of stuff. And so with our land, we can do some work with them and possible trade, do other things.
Continue partnering. Yep.
Yeah, we can barter because we have the land and the asset. And that's what can make a difference. And that can really close a deal quicker. It's several years. Mm-hmm. But like Pat says, and maybe we could get the land quicker or know where it's going to be. Kind of draw that out. It could be you move the cinder pile at first, say, and you know they go down there to actually pick up their cinder when they're in and out all night long. The buildings stay where they are. There's all kinds of phased in approaches that could happen. But the bottom line is, we were on their radar. They're accepted. They acknowledge they're supportive of it. Now we'll move to, you know, how can we make it work? And it is a multi-year process. There's no quick way to do that, but you had to start.
Well, you got to have some influence since you're putting all this money in the downtown and all with you. And, I mean, that's got to have some influence to get it done sooner.
I think the biggest influence is going to be, we've already got agreement from my boss, Gary's boss, Bob Bryant. He's behind all this. But it has to go up to the higher levels, and more. And like I say, local support is going to be the big thing. If you get the land, the rest can happen more quickly. If we don't have the land, we may be able to take advantage of somebody else in the state who wants a station but doesn't have the land yet, and then we get their money. So,
and then the corner is owned by the BLM. So we want to get. We would work with the BLM to get ownership to us, so that we control that corner. That could be redeveloped, private, for-profit businesses paying taxes along with the beautification of your area. It could be parking, combination thereof. Could be all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And we would get that piece, and that would include the triangle on the other side of the road by the motel.
That's a 10-acre parcel, and we're sitting on about 8 acres, and part of it taken up with the highway, and part of it's that probably acre and a half across the street where the triangle is. That's one corner of it.
That's been a kind of a sore spot sometimes, that triangle.
Well, and that triangle, you know, which you maybe do sell it to the motel because it's a landlocked piece with no access, sell it to the motel. The motel will pay us for that. Then that puts that, and then they want to expand the next phase. They come that way. We can take that money, go across the street where their yard is, and then that could help us build our beautification type thing, parking lots. I mean, there's, again, these are 5 and 10 year stuff. This is not 2 and 3 years.
But you got to start.
You have to
just,
you know,
keep working at it.
Yeah.
One other thing, Rick, to think about is in Sisters, because it was Forest Service and they wanted to sell the property, we had to demolish everything, and we did that at our expense. And that was part of the permit anyway. If this piece goes to the city, then we can negotiate whether you want to keep it or for us to get rid of it. It would be our expense. You know, well, we can work it out. Okay.
Excellent. So now we just need to, eventually, formally, the city gets behind it.
Well, we're formally behind it, but not...
But yeah, but I mean, formal letter to their people of Salem, along with Gene and Mike and everybody else.
Yeah, I think if you continue to allow your great guy down on the corner there to keep working with us, Bob Bryant is a great negotiator and finding solutions, and where there may not appear to be something there. Rick is also very good at that. So if we just let them, let us work at that, we'll know when to come back and say, hey, we need something from council. We'll jump right on that and bring it back to you guys.
Excellent.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time. Appreciate
thank
it.
You.
Thanks,
thanks for coming down.
Thank you.
Yep. See you the 3rd.
Yes, see you on the 3rd.
At Roswell.
Yes. We talked about this last meeting, and the planning commission's had this there. This is the hazard mitigation plan. I look at it, it's a technical requirement that the feds and the state made you do, and I will leave it at that, part of my opinion of what it all entails. But it's a bureaucracy that had a box to fill and something. And, you know, it will, we will put it somewhere upstairs. And,
housekeeping.
It is housekeeping.
With a big broom.
Yeah. So, and they had tons of meetings in there, so many people involved. And so I know you mentioned something that said senior center somewhere. I mean, this stuff people have put in. I don't know if in every county they put the senior center in under that. It's really just a...
Okay.
So we would we need to get this done because it is a requirement, and we need to get this approved. And so we would ask for you guys to approve Resolution 216-09. And if you didn't want to, I would get bring a planner down and have her go through it more, because I have not I've worked on things like that. I've not worked on this. There was very little for us to actually do with the creek out here. It's kind of where it is. I may wander on this side of town, but it doesn't just move, so that's where it is. And, the wildlife and the deer kind of go where they want to go, and hazards.
Unless you put a fence up.
Unless you put a fence up, and you can corral them.
Okay. Do I have a motion or a question? Any discussion on it?
I make a motion that you pass the resolution. It's a no. We got to do it.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to approve Resolution 2016-03. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Wait. Next is Resolution 2016-04A, reporting application for TGM.
We talked about this last time. That was we're going to codify the downtown. And we've actually already applied because we wanted to get in there because she said they were running out of money and she was kind of setting it aside for us. So one of their rules is, and that's actually a good one, is they want to make sure that the governing body is on board. And it should be almost one of our own. Make sure that you always support. When staff runs around applying for stuff, you're pretty, at least know about it. And then soon thereafter, you actually kind of take a vote. Because grants require commitments of staff time and sometimes match money. So in this case, we don't have any match money required in it, so it doesn't have, and they actually hire the contractor, so it isn't even a contract we'll ever hire. We'll work with them on who they hire. But it's up to the state. They do it, they pay the bills, and we get the product. So it's actually a great program, and this is what we did when we had Sierra Architect work downtown, same program, Transportation Growth Management, initial acronym TGM. And this had come from the DLCD, kind of through the highway department, but anyway, it's already in. We discussed it 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, but we didn't have a meeting we could vote, and we need to have this resolution and send this to her tomorrow. Patty will be sending that to me, and I'll get it on to sale.
Housekeeping. Discussion? I have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second to approve resolution 2016-05-A. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Now your resolution.
Yeah, yes, it is.
Resolution authorizing the reinstatement of ballot plans.
That would be Ash.
Housekeeping.
Housekeeping, okay.
The IRS changes language every year, and to abide by the IRS language standards, we have to readopt the plans. Valak wrote them. That's part of the service we provide, and gave us the resolution. We just templated it, and so we have to approve them to keep our plans consistent with IRS standards.
Which it's our retirement plan for our staff. Right. Instead of PERS, we don't have PERS.
So this is just to make the IRS happy, basically.
Exactly.
Okay.
I move to approve resolution 2016-05.
I'll second it.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes. Next is approval to hire Anderson Perry for the WICCS lift station.
Well, our senior assistant from Anderson and Perry is here, too. Well, why don't you come up and tell him that you've got the bids out? Yeah. He's been wanting to get up to that damn podium.
No,
for a month, so.
That's okay.
He got advertised. Were you here yesterday?
Yeah.
Okay.
Had a pre-bid. Yeah, so for the WICCS lift station project, I'm Brandon Mahon with Anderson Perry. We bid it in September. Bids came in higher than our engineer's estimate. Had only two bidders show up to give us bids. We have a pre-bid conference, so contractors can come to the site and see the site before they put their bid together. The first go-around, we had three contractors show up. Yesterday, we had 14. So, a lot better turnout, a lot better time to be bidding, that sort of project. So, a lot of interest. Of the 14 that were there, I think there's another 8 or 9 on the plan holders list that weren't there, so potentially a lot of interest, and that's good. That helps drive your bid prices down.
And then tell them about what you would do under the scope of work for kind of, because this is kind of educational. So
yeah.
What you would do and why we want to have someone.
Yeah.
You know, so they design it, you go bid it, but if you don't have someone watching the contractor,
right.
Tell them what your job would be.
Yeah, so just kind of as an overview of where we're at in the process, we did. Our first agreement with you was an analysis of the lift station. Did that, and then the city decided to move forward with design. So we did an amendment to do the design work. And what we're proposing to do now is another amendment for what we call construction engineering. So through that process, we will do the pre-bid. We will advertise, get it out to contractors. We will open bids, and come and open them. We will evaluate bids, make sure that the contractor's qualified and able to do the work, and then from the time of opening bids to awarding the contract, there's all sorts of paperwork. Notice of intent to award, notice to award, make sure the contractor has his bonds and insurance in place, and then we will recommend that the city award to the low bid or the next low bid, depending on the contractor. And then from there, once construction starts, we will handle all the payment requests from the contractor through the city, and then do periodic inspections. For the most part, we'll have Scott or a city employee, public works staff, monitor day-to-day construction just so we're not here all day every day. But at critical points or times that we need to come down and check things out, we'd come and monitor construction to make sure that it's built per the drawings and specifications. So that would be our role through construction. And then after construction, we'd do all the closeout and make sure that everything was done correctly and not do that.
Yeah, you need to. In a lot of projects, actually, Eric will do some, but this one they were working on, and so thought that this was a good fit for them to monitor that and make sure it's done right. And when you're spending several $100,000, you want to make sure that it takes someone out there checking and then just monitoring everything. They wrote the facts, and then if we think he's doing bad, then we'll have Eric look at it.
Definitely.
So that's what this is all about. Corey had this on the agenda, and Corey's got a two-day conference on planning in the valley that he has to be in the morning, so he had a 3.5-hour drive to Portland. So he was going to sit here until 8 or 9 tonight and then go, and I said, nah, just go, we'll wing that, but that's what it is. So the ads are out, the people are starting to bid, but we want you to authorize us to enter into an addendum. We'll add on to the agreement that can have them then manage that project on our behalf and make sure it's done properly and the bills are paid properly and so on.
So it went from how many to 14?
We had three bidders, or three contractors show up at the pre-bid last time. And then this time we've had 14. So we had two bidders last time that actually submitted bids. One of them was from Salem, and one of them was from Portland. Hmm. One was from Reedsport. Yeah, they were clear down in the south.
When we met afterwards, you know, if you're patient, you have to pick when you want bids to come out. And if you bid things when they're swamped or it's harder to get them, and that's why you had no one in Central Oregon, but this one we have several Central Oregon people there, which reduces your cost. And so if you're doing things when there's snow on the ground, they're looking for spring jobs to get going, and it really makes a difference. The second thing we did do is change some of the requirements.
Yeah, we lowered some of the insurance requirements, which hopefully we were hoping would attract maybe some smaller contractors, because it's a fairly small job, so you don't need the big boys. You know, you don't need Taylor Northwest to come down here to build it.
Yeah, some of the time when I went through it, when Brandon met my office in Madras 6 months ago, and we were going through after this thing got rejected, we argued around for an hour there, and I said, my God, for a $200,000-$300,000 job, if you look at the requirements, and if I'm kind of that smaller person, I would have just said, forget it. Well, the big people, then it's almost it's a pain job for them, so they bid them high. Mm-hmm. So went back this time and said, let's take out some of these requirements that really don't. Our risk level is minimal to nothing, and all you're adding is bureaucracy and turn away potential bidders. And that's what we did. Obviously, we've kept in the things that you need, but your risk on the job this size. So if someone gets 3/4 way through it and they leave and you haven't paid them, get someone else to finish it off. I mean, it's not like, you know, you're doing something that's so. And his boss, Brad, they all agreed to the same way. I think all of that helped. Timing, requirements, different environment.
Yep. Well, obviously, if it wouldn't have that.
Now, we'll see what the bids come in. It may be for not.
Right. But normally you get that many people, and it usually helps. Somebody wants it bad enough. Like you say, you get to be this time of year, and contractors get a little stir crazy and want to get back to work and get their machines moving again, so
I don't think it's better for us. It's what we did with the landscaping, which that just went out this week. So, bidding for landscaping, early spring job. Last time we didn't get, when ODOT bid it, we didn't get anyone from Central Oregon. They're all from the Valley. Mm-hmm. And yet you got 20 landscapers in Central Oregon, and we didn't get one. So, we hopefully will have the same thing happen on that job.
Yep.
So, if we need just a an authorization that we can move forward with them to do that management, and we'll get the agreement set up. Authorize me to sign it. And the mayor, whatever.
You'll authorize.
I need some sort of
We need a motion.
You want to?
I'll make a motion that we hire Anderson Perry.
To be the project manager for the Wiki.
The manager.
Okay. Sound great.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes.
All right. Thank you.
Aye. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Next is reappointment of planning commissioners and public works committee. I really want to talk that.
So you got the list there. I had that here somewhere. A couple of them are in the room.
Very back. The list is.
Well, I moved everything around so much faster. So you guys all have your list?
Number
13. Item 13. Commission, Patty or Ashley, do you want to do this?
Planning commissioners that would like to be reappointed are Don Greiner for a 4-year term. Excuse me, and Gloria Fleming for a 4-year term.
Both of them are in the room. We assume they didn't. Some did put your name on here without your permission.
And then your Public Works Committee members for reappointment to two-year terms are Wayne Barth, Doug Ward, and Arlo. I don't know how to say Arlo's last name. Okay.
Can we take these as two separate votes to also don't combine?
Okay.
Our Planning Commission, we got a good, pretty good Planning Commission. We're starting to actually have things to work on more so than we probably have for a couple of years. I think Tammy's good and bringing things, and we're getting more projects. There's more activity. So getting to kind of actually kind of work on some things and have some stuff that we'll get some discussion going. And we've got, there are a couple new members on there, but we've got a couple seasoned veterans. There are just lots of seasoning.
Watch it.
So, are they all four-year terms on the planning, or
no?
Or some two and some four?
They're all fours, and they're staggered. Super strange.
Yeah. Super strange.
Super strange. I think one staggers, one odd year, and then the other two stagger in two separate even years.
And did we used to have seven and went to five, or have we always been?
We did have seven and went to five.
But yeah, that probably threw this off.
That threw that off, and then the original terms, they drew straws for, and one person got a 1 year, two people got a 2 year, and then two people got a 4 year.
And you remember all that?
Oh.
We go through this every year at reappointment time, and I had to build a flow chart to figure out who's who and whose appointments go where.
Yeah.
So if you ask me this next year, I probably won't remember it, but it's fresh in my brain from January.
So Alonzo is still...
He's still there.
He's still there.
Alonzo stays.
Alonzo.
Norm.
Norm.
Alonzo, Norm, and Doug are all over.
How could we forget?
Right.
Another seasoned veteran.
Did you get those off the minutes?
So we just need a motion to approve those two people, if someone would do that.
I make a motion that we approve the Planning Commissioner recommendations and the Public Works Committee. Okay, I don't.
Just the first one.
Just the first
one. Say their name so it's on the tape.
Don Greiner to a 4 year appointment and Gloria Fleming to a 4 year appointment.
And I'll second.
Been moved and seconded.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Got a job for 4 more years. May it be a busy one. Next is the Public Works Committee. Same thing, we've got these are all 2 year.
There are seven of them.
I make a motion that we reappoint Wayne Barth, Doug Ward, Arlo
Ferdy.
Second.
Go ahead. Karen could do, since your husband's your appointment, actually, what she could do, just for the heck of it, is to
excuse myself.
What you could do is a potential conflict of interest. And what that means is that the technical difference is that if you think you have a conflict of interest on an issue, and you can always ask, and we will try to say it, but it needs to be fairly direct. The fact that you visit every day with someone and go on a vacation is not a conflict of interest. It's usually more of a business interest. Definitely a relative, a spouse would be considered. So if you declare that you have a potential conflict, if someone wanted to challenge your vote, number one, you're clear because you declared. Then, what a court could actually rule to strike your vote, if they decided you had a conflict. And then the other thing is you can declare an actual conflict, which means you don't vote. And if you declare a potential, you still vote, And then they would do is decide just to cancel your vote out if they ruled you had one. If you declare a real conflict, a direct conflict, you don't even get a vote. It's your husband, that's probably a direct conflict. So you would just not vote. And we have a, actually, you still count as a quorum. So even if there was only three of you and only two voted, even though that's two isn't a quorum of five, because she's here, it counts as a quorum. So probably you should declare a conflict of interest, and then there's a vote.
There's no vote.
Yeah, well, that's if she does a potential. If she does a real, then right. Does not vote. Right.
I think it's a conflict of interest.
Well, it could be when you get home.
Right there.
If you vote against him.
It has been for the last 55 years.
Or now's the time to divorce him.
Divorce him? Just make 55 years with him. I'm keeping him.
Okay.
Good approach.
Conflict of interest.
Do it direct.
Too hard to break it.
We have a motion to approve with Councilor Ward stating.
Have her say, I'm going to declare a conflict of interest and not vote.
Direct conflict of interest on my part. Not
good. Okay. Okay. That's on the record. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes.
There you go.
Perfect. And then we have the added agenda items. The first one.
Yep, is that FCS?
It is, yeah.
Okay. FCS, this is an extension for $10,260. An addendum I will do if you authorize me to do that and sign that and execute it with FCS Group. You'll remember they did our water sewer whole rate study. In that, they were to do the SDC piece also. And we started into it, and they did some of the work, and it was to be included in their price. Well, we were then having Anderson Perry over here do the our master plan updates. And if we hadn't had this weighted, we would have been using old numbers, and it really defies any logic to put in numbers that are 6 and 8 and maybe even 9 years old, and they come up with something different. Garbage in, garbage out. So we told them, and they were going to do that while they were doing the rate study. So they, when they, because they're from Seattle, when they drove down or flew up, they were going to sit here and they would move from the water sewer rates to the water sewer SDCs. And you would have sat here for 2 more hours at those 4-hour meetings, and we would have done that. But we kind of told them to wait. So they're going to have to come back up again and make two or three trips. They're going to, we'll have a work session with you during the day, and they will plug in all of the new numbers that they got, and then see where that takes our SDCs. And as you know, SDCs are controversial. They're controversial with the public, with the businesses that have to pay them, with trade groups like the Builders Association. They want to make sure that your methodology is accurate, and there's laws on that, and has to be enforceable. So he will have to come back down the night we hold a hearing, because he said that's not one you want to win without him. He needs to be here, because they literally sometimes challenge you on these. And then we got to make sure when we tell a builder that you're going to go build a grocery store and your sewer SDC is literally, they can be $100,000, that the methodology is right. Because you know, you've all heard stories about SDCs runs business off, the districts ran business off with SDCs, you know, all of that. You've probably heard that over the years. So this is it's the most controversial topic in most communities when it comes to development. And it's just ugly. So, So right now we're operating on the old EDU system prior to our rate change that was all outdated, and so this $10,000 will allow us to, and we'll come up and we'll have new ordinances passed, and we'll have good new numbers to use moving forward. And there'll be some changes, and you'll have some decisions to make on what you want to, what rate you want to set. So then if it runs off business, come back right here. Because it's based on a meter size is what will happen. So if someone needs a 1-inch meter, or a 2-inch meter, you're going to pay an SDC based on that. And we'll be setting it. So, fun. But at least there'll be good math and good science behind it, and a good methodology that's justifiable, and we'll know where we are.
Yeah, everyone on the same page.
Yeah. So if you guys are okay with this, that's what that is. And I talked to John, the owner of the company, just tonight. They're, you know, they'll get started on it. It'll take a month, or I mean, it'll be a couple, 3 months. They'll be working on this. I mean, $10,000 isn't a lot for them, but they can do most of it up there. And they already have a lot of the information. And he said it'll take a day. They'll plug in all that new stuff and see where it compares. And this will also help us with, park buildings, with even a BioGreen maybe, all these.
The industrial
group. Yes.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
Counselor, any discussion?
No. We need to move forward.
I like that. So we need a motion.
I so move that.
We extend the our agreement with FCS Group.
Okay.
For $10,260 to do our SDC methodology.
And allow me to sign.
And allow me to sign.
Yeah.
Second.
Okay, if there's motion seconded, all in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes. And item the next item that's added is the FCS Group.
That we just did.
Oh, we did that?
Mm-hmm.
What about Mandela? Oh, we
Mandela.
Haven't done that. That's
no.
The next one.
Mandela, yeah, tonight of agreements and things. But then that keeps us all busy then for the next month, you know.
That's
so
good.
These kind of go in cycles. We talked about this. Well, actually, Janet was here and talked about this is our branding the community.
Mm-hmm.
We did that at the work session. We sit here and talk about, you know, coming up with a logo and a brand for the community, and they had a committee of 10 people or so that interviewed. Well, they had four companies respond to their request, and they interviewed three, and they chose Mandela.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of going. Our lead on this is really LED, our Lapine Industrial Group.
Mm-hmm.
And they are a stepchild of us. And they are a little bit red-haired. Where the Planning Commission is a direct child, LED is a stepchild. And with the makeup of the group throwing a little red hair, they kind of, you know, have a mind of their own. But they're designed to be that way, because they deal with business and they kind of want to unpolitic and look at things, and it really works pretty well. And you know, yesterday we had our meeting and Stu was there, and you know, Sun Rivers, I think their CFO was here. I mean, it's a great discussions about things and what's going on out there. So they're very engaged, and they wanted to do branding so we can brand the community that ties into the industrial park. Well, then it ties into our downtown and ties into so many things. So when we did our session down at the Senior Center, remember that several hour session that we had,
mm-hmm.
and the Oregon Tourism Council was there, they left that meeting and said they would give $10,000 for branding, but they had to give it to someone. And so they gave it to Central Oregon Visitor Association in Sun River. So they've received $10,000, but they only can be involved in tourism, but we're doing broader than tourism, industrial site and all of it. So they want to give us the $10,000. So this money is going to move around.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to come to the city. We will contract to Mandela, and that's what this is. This is a professional services agreement. So Mandela, we will actually pay the bills. He will submit us invoices. We voted to put $5,000 of tourism money, because that's part of it, and then the other grant. So it's $15,000. We're putting up $5,000 from transient room tax. The other $10,000's coming from the state to us. And Mandela, when this is all done, you'll have some marketing strategies. You'll have a brand. And yesterday today he walked through how kind of how they're going to set it up. There'll be several committees formed, subcommittees formed. It'll take 6 months, and they'll involve lots of people. and a lot of new people, and I definitely pushed that at our meeting, was we wanted to see some old faces, seasoned faces, and some new faces. And that's what they're going to do. So they'll be kind of across the age board, business groups, private citizens, because in order to get someone to buy into the brand, you need broad support. And he said that's key to this. So, yeah, there'll be all kinds of little focus. Actually, they're going to come down 3 different days and meet with people one-on-one or groups of 1 or 2. So, you know, they'll end up probably meeting 50 or 100 people, you know, individually almost when this is all said and done. Mm-hmm. So you'll get a good feel for it. And all of you will probably get contacted at some point to help weigh in on it. And our kind of main person working with them is going to be Janet Burke. And the owner of the company, he was here today. So they drove around town, looked all over, and they went clear out, looked at the subdivisions out here, and he was amazed how many there were. He's driven Huntington Road now. Mandel is a great company, and the owners of the firm is actually the one that's been down. Got a British accent. Pretty good guy, and I think that the product will be pretty good. So we would just ask for your blessing in this one. Authorized me to sign it. Actually, we have the agreement. I did this afternoon because he won't get started until we do it. So we threw this. I did this professional service agreement and then attached his bid. Provided he doesn't have any problems with it, I can sign it if authorized. There could be a couple changes, and I'll have to change up a couple things. But we know the price is the same.
Mm-hmm. The last meeting we voted to give the $5,000.
Correct.
So this is just.
Yep. This is meaning we're going to be the contractor.
Right.
Okay. You know, which. It's one of my things is we never said we were going to be, these things get, and Kitty understands this stuff just ends up landing down here, and that's one of the things we have to be careful of. Third parties involving us, you know, we were never going to be the fiscal agent for this. We were going to be one of the group, and then everything ends up. And so that's why sometimes you'll see me ask tougher questions that then people kind of look at you like, why are you even asking that? And you must not be supportive. Or, you know, the fact is we know where these head 9 times out of 10. And I think you guys are getting where you know where these things end up. Great ideas, but they could. There's no one else for them to land. So, and this one's good. It's good for the community. And it's okay.
And that was discussed at the lead meeting, around and around and around.
And this is the final amount?
For this phase, but this will get us the brand and get us the things. Now, then it would be if we wanted to, then what do you do with what they have?
Right.
In our budget process, want to talk about, with some of our transit room tax, maybe set aside some money for some marketing with tourism, and actually kind of focus into the Bend, Sun River area about getting people. We've got to get Lapine on the map for a place to do business. This is kind of our thought. And with some nice material that's catchy, that's professionally done, where you start running in Bend Living, magazines that are on the motel rooms, that kind of thing. And you'll really spend a little money, and maybe spend a year focusing, because we've got the land, we've got the tourism opportunities. People just aren't thinking of us. And we got to raise our brand identity. But that would be another phase, and we'll be able to talk about that directly.
Okay.
I make a motion that we allow Rick to, or the city to control the Mandela.
Enter into an agreement, professional service agreement with Mandela on our branding.
Right.
Second.
We moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. You got it.
And Corey's going to represent us on the committee.
Right.
And then there could be some others on the main committee. So that's it.
Okay. You didn't speak in the beginning. This is your chance. Public comment.
I just want to make a
name, sir.
James Fleming, Public Works.
Thank you.
Point of information, the March 23rd and February 23rd meetings is being published on the chamber website and also on the emails that they send out for what's going on around town. Now, I think I remember seeing it in Wise Wise also. So it is being put out there.
What was that?
The meeting's on the 23rd and the 3rd of February. March. The chamber's putting out that information, so it's getting out there. City. Hopefully, a lot of people will read it.
City sent an email too.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it. No, folks.
Staff comments.
A couple things. Kegel, we sent letters out and we mailed out to every address, and they're good with. We have received 10-ish calls of all kinds. Most people have been they're inquisitive. They just want to kind of know why. And then, of course, when you don't know, well, what's going to cost, you know, you say, but that's where we're starting. And, you know, it's funny, it's that chicken or the egg. You kind of get criticized. Well, how come you're having a meeting if you don't know anything? But if you have a meeting and you already know everything, well, you've already got your mind made up. That's welcome to government. So we're trying to do it when we don't have our mind made up and we don't know the answers. So you get criticized for that. But I think... Corey is working on that. Brandon's going to be there. We're going to have like four stations, I believe. Scott's going to be there, and we're going to we're going to have one area that will be water, one that's sewer, one that's planning. Tammy will be there because that comes up, this whole can I break up my land, pro or con, and then finance. Corey's going to kind of take the finance. Tammy's going to take, and then between you and Scott, they're going to do sewer and water. And kind of, you'll be able to see the maps, talk about where, you know, the system, where pipes might go. We're going to have some boards. I don't know how big you're going to make those, but. And you'll be at the library. I think it's a good setting, and you'll be far enough away. You're not 2 feet from each other, so it'll be neat to see how it works. And then they talk about bringing everyone back together maybe for the last half hour and kind of can ask some questions. And then let us know how you think it went, because I think we want to do that 6 months later after we get down. But, you know, I had a person call me, just to get an example. I had someone call me today or yesterday, and he wanted to know about it. He says, I'm in Las Vegas for several months. We've got a place out there, and asked questions. And he says, well, actually, to be honest, that's why I always thought we should join the city. Mm-hmm. He was fine with it. Mm-hmm. Corey talked for a half hour with a guy tonight that, you know, well, I'm gone 6 months, and so can I pay not those 6 months, or, you know, I should have a prorated number, and I have me a fancy sewer system that doesn't hurt the river like my neighbors, so therefore I don't need to have a sewer. My neighbors do, he said. So he just wants to go by him. And so Corey explained to him, well, it's not going by anybody. Mm-hmm. Because then there's no one to pay for it. So it's all of the above, and I think you might have heard a few comments, maybe some of you that live out that way, but I think so far it's kind of across the board, but no one threatening them. So we'll be 2 weeks out. I'm kind of excited. I won't be there.
Excuse me?
I will be at Whistler. Speech. And you know what happens is there's so many meetings, and I was trying to because then the next week there's this whole thing on the 3rd, and this, it just never comes up. And as I'm kind of supposed to be moving toward retirement, it's difficult. So I will be at Whistler on Tuesday night. I won't tell you what I'll be doing at the time.
Video.
I've never been there.
This informational meeting about the water and sewer, a lot of my customers are very concerned about whether they are going to be able, will be allowed to do temporary short-term fixes on problem systems.
That's it.
Yeah. Is that going to be addressed?
Well,
I had to talk to
not, no. That's a good point, and we need to put that on our list. We won't be ready for that in a week. Right.
Be prepared for the question.
Yeah, and we won't have an answer, but that's a good question.
Yeah.
And what she's saying is that right now, and you're supposed to put in one of the expensive ATT systems, which are thousands, but the DEQ says if in 5 years, there's actually a law that says if within 5 years you're going to be on a public system like a sewer system, they'll let you make temporary repairs. So it could be instead of spending 15, I can spend 2. And that's a huge issue. And that's the difference of what they're going to pay maybe to hook up. So we will, the problem that we've got until we say we're moving forward, it's, we can't guarantee that there'd be a sewer.
Yeah.
But it's a good point. We need to have that discussion with the DEQ and the county. So Ashley will remind us of that. Send me and Corey an email of that question, probably from sitting there if she's got her.
No,
got
I already should. Okay.
Know. She'll do that tomorrow.
Notes.
That's a good point. And we have had a couple of people today call and ask about the, I've got an acre, I've got 2 acres, I'd like to cut it in half. Someone else called and said, I don't want anyone cutting it in half. And so that may be, as I've said to some of you, might be the more interesting station. Mm-hmm. The sewer and water may become, it's this partialization where the emotions may run because I really want to do it. And others are going to say over my dead body. Mm-hmm. So, we'll see. Any questions?
I may take skiing up that
week. The other one, I think we, Dennis, this is on that sustainable, and I'll let you comment, you were here, the sustainable cities when Megan was here. Were you coming to that, I thought?
No, just Corey and I.
No, I thought he invited someone else. But, this is an opportunity, and it's something we will see if you guys want to do. So I'll just go over the height of it, and then let Dennis, you can comment what you thought after sitting there for an hour. And I met with her a couple, 3 months ago. If you followed in the bulletin, the city of Redmond is doing a large whole planning effort and all over town and different things from the downtown, and it's pretty comprehensive. They're spending $400,000 to $500,000. With the University of Oregon, and it's through their Sustainable Cities program. And U of O had called me up and said they have only done cities the size of Redmond and above, but the university and the folks wanted to try a smaller city. And so she came to me and wanted to know if we would be willing to do proportionally smaller projects than Redmond, obviously, which is proportional in cost also. And we went through it, and I said, you know, there's some, you know, I'm concerned about staff time and some other things, cost and so on, but the product would be good because we have some planning efforts that we could use. And so they came back last week. And so they came in and made a presentation again that they want to move forward. Now they have met with the Ford Foundation headquarters, and they were looking at doing a couple of places to do a couple of small projects. And the message we got back is that they were very supportive of us because I think they felt that we were kind of cohesive. We're trying to move forward, and the other community kind of went off many directions in fighting each other, and so they were less likely to want to go there. So. That was nice. And so I think the Ford Foundation has said that they maybe would split it with us, the cost for what we would do. We don't know costs. I would guess it's a $50,000 deal, so we may be $25,000 if we wanted to do this. And what my thoughts were initially, we would only want 2 or 3 projects that are kind of different projects. And they would do several things within it, but the 2 projects would be, one is we keep being criticized over Wikia and what to do out there. And we have no master plan of what to do with Wikia. And we need someone to look at that. And I thought that the college students they have planning, they'll do streetscapes, they can do branding. I mean, they can look at what do you call it, you know, it's gonna have the new overpass. and kind of come up with a master plan for Wikia, what it should look like, what it should be. And then that's how you go get grants down the road, and you use that as kind of a blueprint. And they will hold meetings with those folks, and the students will do all of that. And these are master degree type students and stuff. And they will turn out a plan that's colored blue, colored, you know, all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. And lots of networking with people. Because otherwise, I don't know who's going to do it. We're going to have to go pay a private firm. And this was a chance that working with the university. Well, the other one was downtown, to take our streetscape downtown. We just passed the codes, which is going to codify what buildings do. But we don't have a design of what the sidewalks and streetscape through that 6-7 blocks needs to be. Are you going to have curb fires? Are you going to have benches? Are you going to have clusters of trees on corners? We need a plan for that. Then we can go get grants. So it's kind of, you know, we did the 50,000 foot thing with Sierra Architects. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to do the codes. Now we need to do something with streetscapes. And then once between all of that, then we can, you know, you start building to that over the next decade and beyond. So anyway, those were the two that I thought of.
It just sounded like it was, you're getting all these students for one whole semester, and that's all they're working on is your project. You know, so it's like cost peanuts compared to hiring a firm. It just sounded like a great plan. Especially, she said that the highest it could be for one class, for one project, would be $25,000. And that'd be split with Ford Foundation, hopefully. But it could be as low as five.
Yeah.
You know, and this is all experimental because they've never done anything this small before. You know, so it's I just think it's great.
So Corey was thinking maybe at our work session in 2 weeks, if depending we'll look at our agenda, but maybe he'd like to spend a half hour with you on that topic. Mm-hmm. And this will be between Dennis and Corey, you guys can kind of, because we need everyone to buy in. Then we're going to have to help budget it when the budget committee comes, because we need to. It'd be in September. It'd be next year, and but we got to then make sure we have our $25,000, and that means that, you know, it starts to get to where do you do arts? Do you do this? And you have to kind of, you want it all, but you're gonna have to, you know, kind of
prioritize.
Yeah. So anyway, if that's okay with you, Corey wants to spend some time with you on that. Okay, and the last thing, I sent you the email tonight. I think that, you know, Scott's going to be leaving us, and he will be done on May 31st or before, depending on if he was to gain employment prior.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are working on a separation agreement that will deal with the various issues. We will have an executive session in March to go over that, because you will need to approve that. We will then come to an open session for you to vote. Well, no, we won't do that. We're going to discuss it. We'll have the direction. And then the separation agreement actually would be when he actually departs. And he doesn't know. He knows he's going to be gone by May 30th. He bought a new home in at the coast, and if he was sitting here, I'll just say this, he would say it if he was sitting here. He is ready for just a new stage in his life, and he's happily ready to move back to the coast where he came from, with or without a job. And they look forward to enjoying the next phase of their life at the coast. So he's going to work with us. You know, we spent an hour today going over kind of the transitions. And so we will, in the next couple of 3 weeks, get an ad out, because we want to spend some time going through that to get a new public works manager, make sure that the duties will be broader than we've had. And we'll probably do maybe a little bit of a reorganization over there as to who does what. We'll probably come up with a utility worker two. Right now we have utility worker one only, and so we'll I think we'll focus some jobs more, and we talked to Scott today about what some of the things he thought we should do there to improve things. And Corey and I have some ideas. So look for the next 6 months, kind of some significant changes involving public works. And that's a big part of what we do. Mm-hmm. And it's been time, and I think it's all going to work out great for everyone. So we're excited about the future, happy for Scott to be able to go do something that he's kind of been wanting to do for a while. So there's that.
Okay. Council comments? I'm sorry.
No, I'm good. Okay. I got nothing to say.
Okay.
No, I'm just happy that we're having these public meetings. You know, because I went around to a lot of people on Cago, just walking up and down the street, talking to them, passing out the site. And they actually feel they're part of the city, especially when Corey had over there and grade some of the ruts out of the road. You know, I said, wow, this is amazing. So I think that's good PR for the city fathers here. You know, it's just great. So I think there's going to be a good turnout. It'll probably be about 50-50, you know.
Sure.
You have to be prepared for that. But
yeah.
I'd say most people want it. It's just some of the older people are so worried about the money. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting.
Sure.
I talked to the high school and those that plan. It looks like the Red Cross will put on the program Shake and the Cascadia Cult program with the professors and the sheriff and all of that. May 9th at the high school at 6:00. So we're hoping, it's going to cost quite a bit of money to rent that. So we're hoping we'll have a good turnout to support that and get the information.
Is that the Todd and the...
Yeah, evidently the program is a half hour of the geologist and all of those talking, then a half hour of question and answer. So hope that will work out well.
How bad the Tower Theater a couple times, and it's been well received there.
That's what I've heard, standing room only, and then Prineville had it, but they wanted us to go to Prineville, and none of us really wanted to travel to Prineville in the snow, so we worked to get it put up here, so.
Cool.
Yeah.
Everything's moving right along. You know, it seemed a long time out when we first talked about the overpass changes, and it's moving right along. I'm going to live to see it now, I decided.
Yeah, I hope so. You'll see the first four-story building in town, too.
Yeah.
Not that far away.
It's getting better.
That's that rumor, you know, the rumor mill.
Well, some things were to build one or something.
Yeah, they were talked about at the Red meeting yesterday. Oh. You know, all the rumors going around town.
Yeah.
That was just a joke, you know.
All right.
Well, when it comes to development, there's always lots of rumors.
Oh, yeah. I heard some out at the office yesterday. Crazy. I really don't have anything.
She does.
Not really. It was good to see all this progress being made. It's really interesting to see like the uptick and new things that are coming to our town. It's really good to see.
Well, I mean, the high school's been very busy. What was it, last week? Was the FBLA...
Regionals.
Lapine posted the regionals for the entire state. So there were how many schools?
I think there's about 10, and so it's the Cascade Mountain region. So one of the students at our high school, Gage Yeager, he's the Cascade Region Vice President. So whoever's the Cascade Region Vice President gets to decide where regionals is held. So the whole reason he ran is so we could have regionals at our high school. So we're able to have about 10 schools come, and they got to compete in their individual events, and they got awards, and we had almost everyone in our individual club qualify for FBLA state, which will be in April, so it was pretty successful.
And I got the opportunity to help judge, and Sydney was our first, she was kind of like our guinea pig.
What did you compete in?
Impromptu speech.
Okay.
And they had 5-10 minutes to prepare a speech on a subject they didn't know about until they pulled a piece of paper. Cool. But she had to come in, do her impromptu speech, and get out of there to go sing the national anthem. So she was very busy that day. But there were, a lot of folks from the community there to help judge and everything, and meeting all the kids from Lakeview, Gilcrest, Maupin, there was Madras, from all over the area, and we've got some pretty amazing students, not just here in La Pine, but the whole region. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty interesting.
That's great.
Okay. So, let's see, do we have a meeting next week? I'm trying to think if we will be together next week or not, maybe not the following.
I don't think so.
So you'll have two the following week. Tuesday and Wednesday. We're going to do the parks thing at 5, joint meeting with the parks from 5 to 6, and so we'll go over that agreement. That we'll get that out. And if you have any questions on that, come down and see me or Corey. I think that because it's a joint meeting, it'd be nice for you to have a good feel for things before you come. So that we don't have that's not probably the place for a bloodbath. Make sure that we're somewhat. In other words, let us know if you've got any concerns you have. Because that was like. I gave kind of Corey a template, but that was one of the first ones he kind of then did a bunch too. So he's working hard to get it, and I think the parks folks are pretty happy with it overall, and so I think we're pretty close to where we want to be, but hopefully at that meeting the folks can
decide.
Yeah. Yeah, and because you won't be voting there, but bottom line is we can vote it in March, but we'll put it on the March agenda for voting. And I did, just so you know, I haven't heard from you, Jared, we did an hour conference call with Jeremy today on marijuana, and he does recommend that we pass the ordinance on putting it on the ballot. And then waiting for the session to end, and then if we need to kind of change something, we could change it then. And both Corey and I feel that the risk of that is small enough that we thank him for that advice. But we will wait until April or May.
Okay.
Because that's kind of what I got from you guys. And I've asked the question, is there something that someone could do that, and there really isn't. It could be a little more hassle on a couple of things, but it's at the end of the day, when you vote to put it on the ballot, OLCC they're not issuing until summer anyway a license for a recreational facility. So by May, we'll have for sure decided, and once it goes on the ballot, they put a moratorium on so that no one will get a license. So it's not, too much. We are getting, it's called a land use compatibility statement. It's a LUX, I guess, LUX they call it. We've had two or three people ask for that, and so we're kind of trying to work through that. I am moving toward, I call it a ban, moratorium on any leases in the industrial park on county/city controlled property that have to do with marijuana. Until after the legislature's done, and we do some zoning work in the next 60 days. The Planning Commission is going to be doing some changes in the next month or two, and they will come here. there's too much up in the air. On land we control, when it comes to a lease, we can control it. We can just decide we're not writing any new leases. And so we just need to put that off a little bit while the dust settles. And because we these people are just, they literally call every day. The day doesn't go by that we don't have a marijuana discussion or several. Some are with same people, some are with new people, and they come from all over, and it's exhausting. And we're just afraid we're going to get tugged too many places. And so it's one of those things, let's take a step back. Let's let the legislature do their thing. Let's get our, what we're going to opt out or put it to the ballot, let's do that. Let's get these hearings. Let's decide what we want over there in the grow operations, in our zoning code, because we need to make some changes. An example, today we worked on, so our industrial code says you can do agricultural processing is an outright use. Is agricultural processing include growing? Well, so if I'm growing tomatoes and then I'm going to slice them up to sell them in little bags or carrots, we're going to peel the baby carrots and put them in a bag, because remember, the product doesn't matter. See, in your brain you're saying, well, marijuana, but the zone doesn't do that. So if I was going to, can I grow a carrot, put it in a bag and sell it to Safeway? Or does it mean I have to bring in my carrots and I can process them? And so that's what we're working. And so we're one of the things the Planning Commission is going to get is, I think we're going to say agricultural processing, and then in parentheses, does not include growing. Growing will be a conditional use. So under the conditional use criteria would be if you're going to grow a product. Because in the industrial park, what if someone came, and this is a little crazy, but what if they wanted to just grow wheat? They want to buy an acre and grow wheat. Well, we didn't spend that much money for infrastructure of sewer, water, fire hydrants for someone to grow wheat. Now, if they were growing some high value crop that's specialty, and then maybe it's made into ornaments or something, that's different. So we want to be able to control what you grow there. Processing, if you go to Salem, there's tons of agriculture processing plants along I-5 in there. So they're taking the corn and then they're turning it into Green Giant. Mm-hmm. You buy it at a Safeway or an Albertsons. So that's adding value and there's more employees. But inside the city, they're not growing the corn.
Don't we have a grow operation out there now?
We do. It's there and it would stay. But we're not saying they wouldn't be able to. We're saying they would be maybe a conditional use. Conditional use means you then get to put, you have more rules and regulations with what it is you're growing. And that's kind of, so anyway, Tammy's working on it and she's doing a good job, and that will be coming to the Planning Commission, and then it'll work its way here. And all of that's probably in the next 60 to 90 days. So during this 90-day period, Corey and I have kind of decided we're going to kind of back off on these people. It'd take us 90 days to get an agreement with them anyway. So, but we're just kind of saying, hey, wait. We're not. It's not a thing about telling them they can't do it. We just need to get some rules in place. So.
I heard that last night in a presidential speech. Slow down.
Okay. Anything else, Council? Do I have a motion?
I make a motion.
Second.
All those in favor of adjournment?
Aye.
Aye. We're adjourned. Thank you. Awesome. Note the time.